Finding the perfect ETF for your portfolio just got simpler. Filter and compare with Easy ETFs.
I have tweeted about this so many times where I know there are people who invest their money in funds where they are being charged maybe 1% for the management, and then there's going to be other fees that come in there, maybe for advice, or there'll be other fees for performance of the fund versus its benchmark, and then they end up paying like 2 or 3% per annum in there without realizing that. That's eating into your savings, and I mean 1% alone in the next 40 years, probably 40% of your savings are gone. Because remember, your savings returns are compounding, which means your fees or anything negative on it is also compounding.
Welcome to Easy Does It, a podcast by Easy Equities, where we simplify money and investing. No jargon, no complications. Your cool guide to investing. Easy.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast, your cool guide to investing. My name is DJ At Large. On today's episode, we will be getting in between the sheets with Siya Bulela Nomoyi, quantitative portfolio manager at Satrix. And by sheets, I'm referring to fund fact sheets. So please get your head out the gutter. Please, please, please. So if you're into ETFs or unit trusts, you might have come across a fund fact sheet, or what is also referred to as a minimum disclosure document. So I've invited Siya Bulela, who's also known as the ETF guy on X, which is formerly known as Twitter, to tell us everything we need to know about fund fact sheets and how to read them so that you can easily identify and choose an ETF that fits in your investment strategy. Siya, welcome to the Easy Does It podcast, man.
Thanks, my man. Thanks for having me again here. It's good to be back.
Ah, man, it's lovely to have you. Is Cape Town taking care of you? Is there any opportunity to bring you back to Joburg?
No. Cape Town is good. Except for the weather. Otherwise, everything else is good.
Oh, man. Siya, before we get into the sheets, I've got a random money question for you, right? So, Siya Bulela, would money marry you?
Yeah, I believe so.
You'd be but a good hubby to money.
Yeah. In order to do that, I must have the ability to actually attract money, right? So I think because I believe in myself, I work hard for what I want. I also don't envy others. I think that is quite important in your journey of building wealth, is to not fall into the trap of being jealous of other people's outcome and income. I'm also very grateful. So no matter what comes my way in terms of income, I mean, I'm always thankful and gracious about it. But since I'm married to the most gorgeous woman on earth, I think it's too late for money to actually marry me. I will, however, accept it to come visit anytime it wants. And me, my wife, and kids will definitely not waste time in enjoying it.
Oh, man, I absolutely love that answer. So, Siya, a couple of months ago, I came across your blog post, which I really, really enjoy. Can you tell our listeners a bit about it?
Yeah, man. So I actually started blogging a couple of years ago, before COVID, I think. I saw that the financial industry is selling to an audience that still needs a lot of education on the products that they are actually consuming. But then I stopped for a while. I was dealing with so many things in my life. 2020 was a strain to everyone. I also had to deal with changing of jobs and etc. But fast forward to this year, I decided to build my own website and actually start posting there. So the name of the blog is Siya, the ETF guy. So I mostly concentrate on talking about ETFs and any investment related topics in that area. So if you go to www.siyatheetfguy.com, you should get access to my blog entries there and my socials as well, if you would like to interact with me on Twitter. Not sure if it's still called Twitter, and Instagram as well. So you can also sign up on the website so that you can get notification when I post a blog. You'll see that my mission really is to educate as many people as possible about investment. It's a topic that is quite foreign to so many people, and a lot of them don't understand how easily accessible some of these products are. And really, my vision is to see the next generation of investors fully knowledgeable and make better choices when it comes to their money. So that's why the blog side is there.
I love the blog, and I think it also talks a bit about your passion for educating people. And because I think you're also in the industry, you understand how language and jargon can play a role, but also the psychology of individuals when it comes to money and investing. And that's why I really, really like your blog. And of course, people can go to your website. They can also find you on social media as well. Siyabulela, let's get in between the sheets, right? For those who are new to the world of investing, what on earth is a fund fact sheet or a minimum disclosure document?
I'll just shorten that to MDD, the minimum disclosure document, so that we can just chat about it easily. An MDD is actually your first contact with any fund manager. So without you picking up the phone and calling or emailing anyone from whatever the fund manager you want to invest in, so the fund fact sheets or the MDD is there for you to actually get information on a particular fund that you would like to invest in, or you're doing some sort of research on that fund. It's a 1 or 2 page document, sometimes 3, that provides a neat summary of all the info that you need to learn about a particular ETF or unit trust. So every fund manager has to post this regularly and change the information as per what has happened in the portfolio, whether it was rebalanced, so maybe there's like new holdings in the portfolio, so they'll appear there if they make it to the top 10 anyway. If there's any change in terms of the fund management, or there's been performance as well that they would like to update, so they'll post it in there. So normally you see these updating every month or quarterly, so you'll see that on every fund manager's especially for ETFs and unit trusts, their website. So they have to post this regularly and disclose some very, very, very important information like fees, performance, and what the fund is about. So its functionality also is in the name. So it's called a fund fact sheet, and it provides a minimum disclosure of these important facts. One thing to touch on, Certrix actually has a great article on their website that covers the basics of what an MDD is. So if anyone who is listening and maybe would like to get some sort of or more info, they can go to their Certrix website and look for the article under their news and articles page.
Yeah, and I know we've also done previous episodes with you around ETFs for those who need a refresher as well. So, Sia, I'm assuming the primary purpose of this document is to give you a summary of what is in this fund so that you can decide if this fund makes sense for me or not.
Absolutely. It's to disclose information to clients or potential clients on what the particular fund charges, the total assets in the fund, the objectives, like what is it trying to track, what are the asset class, the risks involved, and definitions need to be explained in the reader as well.
Yeah, I want us to rewind back to some of the typical things that you will actually find in the fact sheet, maybe in relation to dates, fund information, fund objective, the holdings, the performance, the fees. Maybe you can just delve into each of those for us as well.
Let's just make an example where maybe a friend might tell you that she is invested in the Certrix Top 40 ETF, for instance, and just tells you to look it up. So some of the questions you might have will probably be, okay, what is the objective of the fund? What is it tracking? If it's tracking a particular benchmark, when was it launched? How often does it rebalance? Is it quarterly, every month, every 2 weeks, or whatever the frequency would be? So the MDD will have this information on it, and it will also tell you what the biggest positions are by providing you the top 10 holdings, for instance. So everyone's favorite term, especially in the ETF business, is the TER. So the total expense ratio. I think we spoke about this in the last podcast. So this will also be disclosed in the MDD to tell you how much you pay for investing in the fund. Also, you will get information on how often the fund distributes its dividends, if it does, its past performance against its benchmark, so that, very importantly, so you given the objectives, you also look at the performance. So this will give you information on whether the performance of the fund is actually matching with the objectives. The fund manager says, I'm tracking the top 40. If you're looking at the performance on the table, is that actually in line, or is it quite close, or there's something out of whack? So that also gives you the information on how good the fund manager is in terms of tracking the benchmark.
Lots of important information. Sia, what would you say is the information that gets the most attention from investors when they're referring to the MDD?
Well, in the ETF side, as I mentioned, a lot of people love giving attention to the TER, which is quite important, because remember, you'll sometimes have 2, 3, or 4 fund managers which track the same benchmark. For instance, let's say there's 4 managers which track the top 40 or the S&P 500 index or the South African bond index, but sometimes you'll find that there's a difference in their TER, so probably they are charging different management fees. So, which is very important, because I mean, you're getting the same performance, so why are you going to a fund manager that's charging more, maybe 5 basis points more? So that's where the choice will come from you to actually investigate more on why they're charging more, and also if there's any other benefit that you're getting from that manager that you're not getting from this manager because of that. So that part is very important when it comes to the TER. It gives you the choice of, especially when there's like too many choices, why am I going this way, and how the tracking is actually happening as well in terms of the performance. So people actually look at the performance as well. But the other part is you get info on how often the fund distributes its dividends, as I mentioned. You know, people love payday. There's also dividend payout day, eh? And boy, do people go crazy when they receive their dividends. I was laughing at someone's tweet, I forgot the tag now, where they said they've received R3.27, and then this is how they are when they receive this dividend, and they posted a picture of Warren Buffett holding a mic. So that was so funny. So you know how people go crazy when they receive the dividends, no matter how much. I mean, it makes a huge difference in their life. They can see that they're investing and there's an outcome. So it's something to look forward to, and it doesn't form part of the regular normal payday on the 25th or the whatever the date that they get receive the money, and it's different money, and it's actually really rewarding on their side as well. So that's also something that they really, really look forward to looking at.
Yeah, I think that's also been my experience talking to people. It's the dividends, but also the fees, because you don't want your fees to eat into your returns as well, which I think is really, really important. Sia, we know that people would normally say, you know, if past performance isn't a guarantee of future performance, so what should investors be looking for in the fact sheet to help them make their investment decision? Because sometimes we know that if a fund has performed really great for the last 10 years, it doesn't necessarily mean for the next 10 years it's going to do well. So what should we also be considering as well?
This is quite important in the investment world, because people do go to the fund fact sheets and they look at the past performance and be like, oh, okay, cool, this fund has been doing quite well, I would like to invest in this, without looking at other factors as well. So just because the MDD is showing that the fund has been returning 14-15% per annum in the last 5-10 years, it does not necessarily mean that as a new investor going into it today, I will experience the same. So what is important here is that the investor needs to actually match what they are targeting or what their objectives are in terms of their investment with the risks that are involved in terms of the fund itself. So this is where the risk profile of the fund comes in, and the investment horizon is also important. So some fund factors will tell you the risk profile for the fund is aggressive, mostly in equity funds or like offshore equity. They'll tell you that it's moderate risk, where maybe it's in bonds, and then they'll tell you that it's low risk, you know, for funds like money market and other similar funds. So it's quite important to actually look at that when you want to invest. So for instance, the Satrix Top 40, sorry, I'm always losing this ETF as an example. I'm doing that because I know it's every investor's favorite ETF.
Yes, okay. Yes.
there's no argument there. So when I look at its past performance, it had over 10% total returns per annum in the last 10 years. And this is per year, which is fantastic, right? But would I take my money that I would like to actually invest and utilize maybe next year in January and put it in that fund? The answer on my side will be definitely no, because this fund has an aggressive risk profile, which means even though in the long term, like the 10 years, it has done 10% per annum, in between those years, it has been volatile. It's up and down. There are months where it would have been down and there are months where it would have been up. So it's quite risky to actually put money in there and know that in the next 5 months, I am risking the fact that I want to actually gain some returns on it. So, I mean, in that instance, I would consider looking at a fund that is low risk, like a money market fund, or simply just saving it in a fixed term with a bank where I know I'll get juiced up interest on it, rather than actually looking at the risk. So it's quite important to actually just look at that as well when you're looking at the performance of the fund. Also just consider the risk and the term that you want to invest in.
Yeah, I think a little bit of what you've spoken about is some of the common mistakes that us investors make, which I think is one of those. So not aligning your investment goals and strategy and philosophies to the right type of ETF that's in line with that. So you're almost just choosing it because it's trending. And you're like, I heard them talk about Cedric's Top 40, I'm in there, but it's not in line with what you're trying to achieve, which I think is one of the common mistakes people do. Are there any other mistakes that you've seen people making when they're reading an MDD? I mean, I'll share one of the mistakes that I've made, but I'll give it to you first and then I'll share my mistake.
Sure. So it's definitely the past performance. That's the biggest one. I mean, I've had conversations with people where I would say, okay, invest. Okay, these are the products that you can invest in. And then they'll probably choose one or two and then they invest in them. I promise you, 2 days later and it's in the red, they will call you or send me a message like, dude, I'm down 1%. What am I supposed to do now? You know, they actually think that immediately you're going to get that 10% upside immediately. So looking at that and not understanding the short-term risk, also the fee part is quite important. I mean, I have tweeted about this so many times where I know there are people who invest their money in funds where they are being charged maybe 1% for the management, and then there's going to be other fees that come in there, maybe for advice, or there'll be other fees for performance of the fund versus its benchmark, and then they end up paying like 2 or 3% per annum in there without realizing that. That's eating into your savings. And I mean, 1% alone in the next 40 years, probably 40% of your savings are gone. Because remember, your savings returns are compounding, which means your fees or anything negative on it is also compounding. So that compounds over the next. Yes, so that takes a huge chunk in there. And also just understanding the objectives of the fund. As well, it's very important to actually read on what the objectives of the fund are. If it's tracking the top 40, you should understand and try and understand what that means. What are the top 40 funds, what that entails, and how often it actually rebalances, and what do you expect at the top 10 of those funds. If anything changes there, there's definitely a very good reason for it. If, for instance, I mean, in the top 40 we had Richmond, which was quite high in the funds, and now it changed its listing status and then it's quite small in the fund. So you need to just keep track of that. So I think those are the kind of things that people actually need to watch out for and not miss. But the risk part is very, very important. Understanding the risk and try and match that with your investment horizon. And unfortunately, with the information that is out there and also the education, I think there needs to be more and more of that, because at the end of the day, a lot of people won't understand when you tell them that the return that you see is per annum. It's not every day or every week. You have to invest for 5 to 10 years long term and see that return. That's where you immediately lose people sometimes. And that's why sometimes these scammers come in and they are able to actually...
All types of promises, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They give them promises that will double your money in the next 3 days, because they don't understand that part of the return. And I really don't blame them. So more and more education needs to come in. And MDDs actually provide this, but at the same time, it also leaves a space where people can ask more questions.
I think this touches on a lot of my mistakes personally. So when I started investing, a lot of people were saying to me, the best place to start is to buy ETFs. And so all I did was buying all types of ETFs, but I was not looking at the MDD or understanding what is the objective of this ETF. So I was buying a lot of the same things. So funds that are covering the same sector. So I was not diversifying. And that was one of my biggest mistakes. So yes, I've got a lot of different ETFs, but they're covering the same thing. So I'm not really getting diversification. So that was one of the mistakes that I definitely made. And I think that's the importance of what you've mentioned as well.
That's very, very important. And it's a very common mistake. I think I did like a very short thread on Twitter about it, where I'd say if you're an investor and you are holding two ETFs, I don't expect you to hold these two ETFs, because if you look at them, both of them at the same time, you're literally holding the same thing. So you have 10 ETFs in your portfolio and it's all US stocks, for instance. So you're not really diversified in your portfolio. You're just holding these 10 different ETFs. So that's very, very common, also a very big mistake, where you're not really diversifying your return, but you're just holding a whole lot of ETFs in your portfolio. Yeah, so very good point.
So that's definitely one that I'll make. See, Abulel, I was actually thinking about this conversation and this podcast. What happens if a fund is brand new? I'm assuming there isn't an MDD. So what happens in that sense?
So now we have to post an MDD within a month when it has launched. So there, what we'll do is, in terms of the TER, obviously the TER is calculated over 1 year, but that 1 year is not existing at that moment. So we will put in like a forecasted TER where we know how much we're going to charge. So definitely we're going to know how much we're going to put in the TER. So that's going to sit there for the year up until the actual amount comes in. There won't be any performance table because there's nothing in there. You can actually talk about performance to investors by law after 1 year, because in between that, there's quite a lot of things that can actually happen. So we still post the fund objectives, what it is that is it's gonna track, what type of benchmark, how often does it distribute, how often does it rebalance, the launch date, the top 10 as it is when we launched it, and how many investors are in there, and everything else that goes into the fund objectives. And then every month we just change what's happening based on what the rebalance was, up until a point where after a year, now we have a 1 year number in terms of performance, then we put it in there. Sectors as well, we'll have that at launch date, so we'll also put it in there. So if there's a new fund, all that information will be there, except for the actual performance part.
In general, how often is the MDD updated? Is it after every year? Is it after every quarter?
It's updated every month. So you'll see other fund houses actually updating it every quarter. But it's updated every month. That's the more commonly used frequency. Some MDDs will have commentary in there of what has happened in the quarter. So they'll post that for March, for instance. And then April, May, they'll still post the same commentary for those months, but everything else changes in terms of the top 10s and the distribution amounts and the performance. But every month needs to be refreshed so that everyone has the latest information.
See, lastly, what other tips can you share to help investors when they're doing research on an ETF or unit trust?
On the ETF, the unit trust part, it's quite important to understand the difference between those two. Maybe that can be a conversation that we have next time. What ETF is compared to a unit trust, how often can you invest in there. But it's very, very important to understand the fees that are involved. Apart from the TER, what are the other costs which are involved? Because there's also going to be transaction costs when the fund rebalances. Some of these funds have very high turnover, which means that the fund is experiencing a lot of buys and sales when it rebalances. So the total cost actually increases because the transaction costs are actually high. So you need to understand that, because that's also going to come into your fund as well. That actually eats up in terms of the performance, the actual performance. and just understanding the objectives, as I mentioned, which will definitely save you from making the mistake that you were making of investing in the same ETFs. There are people where sometimes they will have the top 40 as three different asset managers or fund managers. They hold in the top 40, but it's coming from different fund managers like Cetrix or Signia or whatever the fund house would be. It's a common mistake, apart from the fact that it's got the same stocks and whatnot, but it's exactly the same, just that it's coming from different asset managers. So don't make that mistake of repeating what you are holding. And the important word that you've mentioned in this podcast is diversify. It is very, very important to actually, when you're doing your research, if you are holding ETFs in your overall investment strategy, if I want to add another ETF, why am I adding that compared to what I currently have? In terms of risk, is it gonna help me in an environment where there's higher inflation or there's volatility in the equity market, which means I need something that's gonna be a bit defensive? Or is it just adding it to the risk that I have? Also, just making sure that you understand the fact that when you go into a portfolio, that past performance doesn't mean much sometimes when it comes to, especially the short term. If you are looking at long term performance, don't consider that ETF unit trust for the short term, because you will be in trouble. It's not going to be the same thing. So if you are looking at long term numbers, probably you want to invest for the long term as well. That's when you actually experience that. So make sure you match your objectives and your targets for your investments with what the fund is actually giving you in terms of the performance and the risks as well.
Yeah, some amazing tips that you've shared with me and some of the listeners. Thank you so much, Sia, the ETFs guy, for taking us in between the sheets and truly explaining what a fund fact sheet is, and more importantly, how to read and to understand it.
Thanks very much for having me, man.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast. A big shout out to you for hanging out with us. Don't forget to subscribe. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think of this episode on Twitter and Insta. Our handle is @EasyEquities.